Good morning, everyone. We're doing the book of Hosea, and we had seen that Hosea was the son of a prophet, Be'eri, as we discussed the Gemara and Megillah, that whenever we have a prophet quoted as the son of a prophet, it means he himself, when he's quoted with his father's name, it means that he and his father were both prophets. And we discussed that Hosea made a claim before Hashem saying, "Forego the Jewish people, they're sinning. Take another nation," and God said, "That's not your job, and I'll prove to you that you yourself wouldn't do that." Was a prophet, correct. We had at least 600,000 prophets whose works are not recorded. So we don't have Be'eri's either. Now, we discussed how God told the Hosea what? No, it's what Chazal say, that there was more, the Chazal even say more than double the amount of Jews who left Mitzrayim. It says in the beginning of the book of Shmuel, "V'hi ish echad min ramatayim tzofim be'arefayim." There was a man from the mountaintops of Tzofim, of prophets in the mountainous regions of Ephraim. Our sages say that there was, our sages derive from that verse, that in the Jewish history, in the period of, from the Exodus of Egypt till the destruction of the first temple, or till the erection of the second temple, we had more than 1,200,000 prophets, more than double the amount of Jews who left Egypt, but their prophecies were appointed prophecies for that time. Chazal even say, we find in the verses that when Eliyahu was going to pass away, so he and Elisha went on a journey, and they went from city to city to city, and it says in Tanakh that every city they came to, the prophets came out, and they greeted them, and they asked Elisha, "Do you know that today God is going to take your master from upon you?" And Elisha said, "Yes, I too know, be silent." Our sages say, we see in the verse, it says that these prophets who greeted them said to Elisha, "Do you know that today God is taking your master from upon you?" They were all prophets that were equivalent to Eliyahu. Elisha, they said, "He's bigger than you, he's your master, he's your Rebbe. But do you know that today your Rebbe is going to die?" He wasn't their Rebbe, they were on his level too. And we don't know who they were. These were groups of prophets from different cities who were all on the same level as Elio, that level of greatness, and we don't know who they were. So we have many prophets who we don't know. There were 48 prophets whose words were recorded that we have in Tanakh, right? And seven prophetesses. Okay, so Hosea is told to marry a woman by the name of Gomer Bas Divlayim, who was a prostitute, and have a child from her. And here we brought the Machlokes Rishonim, whether this is to be taken literally, or like Chazal say, like the Targum says, that this is all a prophecy, this is all an allusion to the Jewish people. And so we're going to go with the Pashup Shat, that he married Gomer Bas Divlayim. And we'll pick up on Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Adonai Elav Kashemo Yisrael. He had a child, at least she had a child, and Hashem says, name him Yisrael. Yisrael means God will scatter. Ki od me'at ufakati et me Yisrael al beit Yehu, v'hishbati mamlechut beit Yisrael. God says, soon I will collect the bloods of Yisrael over the house of Yehu. And we said that Yeravam was the last of the dynasty of Yehu. Yehu had killed out Ahab's family because they were leading the Jews to idol worship, then Yehu himself went after idol worship. And then we went into the whole discussion. You guys remember? Yeah, the whole discussion about if a person does a mitzvah but not for the proper intent, then that mitzvah involves hurting other people. On that day, God says, I will break the bow, I will break the strength of Israel in the valleys of Israel. Then she became pregnant again, and she had a daughter. And here again, so the simple understanding, it's literally. And the Targum says the Jewish people continued to sin. Vayomer lo, Hashem said to the Navi Hosea, Kera Shema lo Ruchama, name her lo Ruchama. She will not have pity. People will not have pity over her. So Hashem says to Hosea, They don't have pity, according to the Targum. Their actions do not have pity. Why? Because I will no longer have pity over the Jewish people. I will no longer have rachamim for the house of Israel, ki naso esa lahim, because I will lift them, and I will lift them as I will lift the cup, so to speak, of the Navi describes a cup of destruction, as though when you drink that cup, it's a poisonous cup that causes the destruction. So that's one understanding. Naso esalahem, I will lift their actions to judge them. Or naso esalahem over here could also be understood because they should also know that if they do tshuva, then I will forgive them. I won't have compassion, but if they do tshuva, naso esalahem, I will have compassion over them. So here we have a few different understandings as to what Hashem is telling them. But Hashem says, the time of mercy is over. They've had so many sins, the time is over. I'll no longer have pity on them, but rather I will lift up their sins and judge them for them. So who are we talking about? Beit Israel, the house of Israel, which is a reference to the 10 northern tribes. Beit Yudah Rachim, but the house of Judah, the Judean section of Israel, the tribe of Yehuda down south, them I will have mercy over, Voshatim Adonai Elohim, and I will save them by Hashem their God. The redemption will be at the hands of Hashem. It won't be with the use of their swords. And this is a reference to that tremendous battle with Sanherib, that Sanherib came with millions of soldiers and surrounded Jerusalem. He had just finished conquering nation after nation, and he said to the people of Jerusalem, "You think you're going to stand up to me? I have so many forces, literally millions." He had over 100,000 generals around Jerusalem. His general, Rabshakeh, called out to the soldiers. He said, "What'd you guys rebel against me for? I'll give you horses. I'll give you 1,000 horses. You don't even have men to ride the horses. Who do you think you are rebelling against?" The great King Sanherib. And that night, Hashem made a miracle, and the forces, a plague attacked the forces. God sent an angel down, and it says it in Melachim, it says it in the prophet Yeshaya. And the next morning, the soldiers were falling like flies. No war. At the gates of Jerusalem, this was one of the great miracles that happened to the Jewish people. Our sages say that could have been the coming of Mashiach. If only Chizkiyahu, the king, would have sang song in honor of Hashem, in honor of this great miracle, that's considered a miracle like the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's such a great miracle, we have a special blessing. If only we'd know the location of where the soldiers were standing when they were killed, we'd make a special blessing every time we approach Jerusalem over that miracle. So Hashem says, I will have mercy over the house of Yehuda. Those same forces that managed to exile nation after nation, as we discussed last night, they exiled the nation of Edom out to Rome. They exiled the people of Ammon and Moab and Mitzrayim. Sanherib really mixed up the whole world. But when he comes to the northern 10 tribes, he'll take care of them as well. He exiles them too. And then he'll come to the little Judean territory, to the gates of Jerusalem, and there Hashem says, I will save the house of Yehuda b'Hashem Elokehim, with Hashem their God. V'lo Hashem b'keshet u'b'cherev u'b'milchama. I won't rescue them with a bow or sword or war b'susim u'farashim, with horses or horsemen. V'tigmolet lo ruchama. And then she finished nursing lo ruchama, that second child, the daughter. V'tal v'telet ben. She became pregnant and she had a son. Vayomer kra shemo lo ami. God said, name him, you are not my nation. Ki atem lo ami v'anochi lo yeh lachem. For you are not my nation, and as such, I will not be there for you. You are not my nation. Scary pasuk. Ki atem lo ami. Who's he talking to? Yehuda or Yisrael, right? We were just talking about Yehuda and Yisrael. You are not my nation. A nation ordinarily has respect for their king. I've been telling you to do tshuva and you're not listening. And therefore, when you're in trouble, Hashem says, the 10 tribes will be exiled. I won't be there for them. Now, we discussed once that people don't know it. But when Sanherib took over the 10 tribes, that was worse than the Holocaust. You had a situation where millions of Jews were taken into captivity, according to some opinions killed, according to some opinions scattered among the nations, intermarried. You had a situation where we don't know the exact date. It's interesting that we don't have a date that we mourn the downfall of the 10 tribes. But technically, what you had then was the majority of the Jewish people were wiped out. Hashem says, you're not faithful to me, I won't be there for you on that day. And Sancheiriv is, Hosea is prophesizing about Sancheiriv's ascent to the north, Sancheiriv's attack on the north, where Sancheiriv will conquer the north, take the northern tribes, the majority of the Jewish population, and wipe them out. It's unclear whether he wiped them out physically or spiritually. But at the end of the day, they disappeared off the face of the earth. We don't have them. So everyone knows the opinion, there's a Machlokas and the Medrash. There's one opinion that says they're all waiting on the other side of this river in Africa called Sambatyon. There is such an opinion that they're all out there. We discuss it every year, Shavuos time. But
maybe it wasn't God or Sambatyon.
Maybe it was where?
In God or in India.
Okay. Mepharshim say it was Africa. It was in Africa. That's what it seems to say. But at the end of the day, it says over here, Hashem says, you haven't been there doing what I say, I will not be there for you. Now, there's an interesting allusion here in the Pasuk. In Pasuk Chet, it says, "Vatigmolet lo ruchama," she finished nursing the daughter Lo Ruchama, and then she became pregnant and had another child. So in Chazal's time, a woman could not become pregnant so long as she was nursing. And Chazal knew that if she did become pregnant, then most women would not continue having milk. So there was a special halacha that women would continue nursing, and most women, when they continued nursing, did not become pregnant, for 2 years. They would nurse the average child, and then after 2 years of nursing, then they would let the child, they would wean the child. There's a special halacha that you have to do that. A woman who has whose husband died, so Chazal said, if she has a nursing baby, she shouldn't remarry within the first 2 years. Because we're concerned that her new husband will want his own kids, so I'll tell her wean the child within the first 2 years. And then that's not healthy for the child, so for the safety of that child, Chazal said she shouldn't remarry the first 2 years. The child should get his nursing. And the pasuk over here seems to indicate that too. The pasuk says, first she weaned her, she finished nursing her, and then she became pregnant again. Today, the nature of women has changed. Most women, even if they nurse fully, they can become pregnant within the first 2 years. I once mentioned this in a class, and I got an email from one of our listeners, a woman who teaches nursing out in the States, and she says it's not so. But I beg to differ with her because I deal with many, many couples, and I've had many couples who came to me and clearly said they've been nursing full time. The baby has been only nursing day and night, and yet she became pregnant within the first 2 years. I don't know. Chazal say it's good for the baby to nurse for 2 years. Chazal say. That's what Chazal said. So you could say today maybe we have a Similac and we have a different diet. Maybe it's okay for a child when we wean him earlier. You see that kids are weaned earlier. It's rare that you find a kid today that's nursing till age 2. But about things like this, the Chazon Ish said, we don't know the effects long term. Chazon Ish is quoted as having said that when people come to him and discuss with him fertility issues, he wonders if maybe the reason the women are having issues that they didn't have in the past, maybe the reason it's so common now is because the women's their virility, they've been affected by the fact that they've had less nursing when they were babies. Maybe that's part of the reason why different illnesses affect our generation that didn't affect earlier generations. He said this 100 years ago. He said, we don't yet know the effects of the changes that we're making, and some of the things he's been proven right on. Like about 30 years ago, they used to claim, you don't know if you're getting enough nourishment, so give your kids Similac, because nursing isn't necessarily good for them. This goes back about 30, 40 years ago. So they told all the women, maybe you're not eating it well enough, so maybe the child isn't getting what he needs out of nursing, don't nurse. Give him Similac, we know that he's getting what he needs. Today, they know it was a big mistake. They know that the child gets what he needs out of the milk, and the milk is specifically, Hashem made it that the milk, the first few days that the mother nurses, is composed one way that's good for his digestive system, and has enzymes that he needs to develop.
And the immunoglobulin for immune.
Right. It develops his immune system, right. To the extent that children don't even need shots. There are all kinds of shots that we give our kids to strengthen their immune system and to protect them from, I don't remember the diseases. When we give immunization shots, yeah. We say the first 6 months the kid's nursing, he has it still from the mother. The science has discovered that it doesn't matter what your diet is, what God made is the best milk. And they even, in Israel, I think it's the law, they write it on the Similac, that it says on the Similac that this isn't as good as mother's milk. So we're getting edumacated, right? We're advancing. We're getting there. But the Chazon Ish said it 100 years ago. He said, you know, people are saying that it's okay to wean a baby so early, and I'm not sure that we won't pay the price in the long run. But here, the Pasuk clearly indicates, only after she finished nursing did she become pregnant with the next child. Now, we discussed last night that this breakup of chapters throughout Tanakh, everywhere but in the book of Tehillim, is a Christian invention. And here, they chose rightly to put a chapter 2, because really, the first parsha and the next parsha seem to be very distant from one another. An abrupt change. Suddenly, the next pasuk says, "Vayam ispav bnei Yisrael kechol hayam." The Jewish people will be plentiful like the sand on the sea. Asher lo imad velo yisafel. You can't measure it. You can't count it. "Vayam b'mkom asher yamer lehem lo ami atem." And instead of their being called not my nation, "Yamer lehem bnei el chai," they will be called the sons of the living God. And this is where we'll pick up next week. There seems to be a very clear contradiction here. The previous pasuk says, God tells him, name your child, love me, you're not my nation. You aren't mine and I'm not yours. And this pasuk obviously is a very scary pasuk. Comes the very next pasuk and God says, you are my nation. And you will flourish and you will be great. So Bezat Hashem, we will discuss this next week. The alignment, why the Navi is written this way and what it all means.